Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. First book in the Bible, chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. Been preaching a series on voices from unexpected places. Specifically, recently, we've been talking about voices from a grave. Voices from a grave. We preached two messages on Samuel when he appeared to Saul. Amen. Didn't work out too good. Amen. This morning I'm going to talk to you about a man named Abel. Abel. We find him mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter number 4. He is the fourth human that we become familiar with in the Bible. Now, Samuel, when he spoke from the grave, he had a message of warning. He had a warning for us. He told Saul, he said, "This time tomorrow, you and your son's going to be where I am." So, Samuel's message to us is a warning, friend, and it's this. We're all going to die. Abel, we're going to find, has a word of witness. Samuel tells us that one day we're all going to die, even as he did. Abel tells us how to be sure when that day gets here that we're right with God. Amen. He has a witness. So let's begin reading in Genesis chapter 4 in verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had, notice this next word, respect unto Abel and to his offering. Recognize something right now. You cannot separate the man from the offering. They go together, and you cannot separate them. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" God saying, "Cain, if you do the right thing, don't you think that you also will be accepted? And if thou dost not well," there's a problem. What is it? "Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, God said, "What hast thou done?" Now notice this. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Now, put you a marker right there in Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to put my handkerchief there. And turn in your Bibles over to the New Testament to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. We're talking about voices from the grave and what they have to say. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith, Abel," that same individual, "offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was," what's the next word? "Righteous." What determined whether or not he was declared righteous by God? The offering that he offered to the Lord. It continues, "God testifying." Not only does Abel have something to say from the grave, but God has something to say. "God testifying of his..." Now wait a minute. He didn't say testifying about Abel. What did he testify of? His gifts, his offering, his sacrifice that he brought unto the Lord. Now look at this. "And by it," God's testimony of those gifts, "he being dead," does what? "He yet speaketh." Amen. God said Abel may have been the first man in the Bible to die physically of fratricide, but he still got something to say, and he still has a voice. And if that's true, then it's important for us to listen to what he has to say. Amen. Now it's interesting to me, as we've read these scriptures, there are not that many that deal with the man Abel. We find that throughout the Bible, when we read about him, it is not recorded of one word that Abel ever spoke. There is a Cain. He talked verbally with God, but we never read that Abel ever said a word. But yet the Bible says that even though he's dead, my friend, he has a voice that is still speaking, which means that we need to hear what he's got to say. I read this I don't know when I read it. May as well be honest. But I wrote it down. And I ran across it the other day, and I thought maybe it was applicable to what we're doing here. I read about a cemetery in Indiana where there is a tombstone that has on it an epitaph with the intent to make people prepare for death. You know, some people when they pass, they leave a message on their tombstone what they would like to say to the world. Most people have write something on the tombstone to say something about who's here. But some people have a message written for other people on their tombstone. Amen. I'm still trying to develop what's going to be on mine. It'll have to be short because it'll be a small tombstone. It may have to scratch it in the dirt. I'm not sure at this time. But we're not going to worry about it right now. But anyway, this is what it said on this headstone. In quotes it said, "Consider, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon shall be. So prepare, my friend, to follow me." You see, that's a voice from the grave. But the family went out one day and they found a little note on the grave. And they opened it up and this is what it said. Somebody had written, in quotes, "To follow you is not my intent. To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." So, it was a good message and good intent, but he left out that crucial, important part of which way that he went. And of course, that's the ultimate question that has to be answered and has to be affirmed. Amen. And so, let's notice what the Bible has to say about this man Abel and his boys. Now, the Bible tells us that there came a time when Cain and Abel brought an offering unto the Lord. Genesis chapter 4 puts it this way: in the process of time, they brought these offerings unto the Lord. But now, what was the motivating factor? What was, as I have it in my outline, the vehicle that caused Cain and Abel, or Abel anyway, to bring their offering unto the Lord? Amen. We're not sure of the motivation of Cain, but we do know of Abel, because in verse 4 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Abel offered to God this offering. So what was the motivating factor that caused them? You see, we don't get up one day and decide we're going to be religious. If we do, that's all we are, is religious. Amen. Religious but lost. And that's the tragedy in this world today. Not any religion will do, but because we are a tolerant society, we don't want to offend everybody. Then we say, well, you can come to God any way that you want to. You can come whatever religion you want. As all roads lead to Rome, so all religions lead to God. And the Bible teaches that nothing could be further from the truth. And so the motivating factor, the vehicle that Abel rode in on, was that of faith. Well, in order to understand that, then we've got to understand what faith is and where we get faith. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 puts it very simple. It says this: faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, my friend, there's only two ways you're going to find out anything about God. You're either going to find out about God from His Word as the Holy Ghost of God opens it up to you, or your only other way to find out anything about God is to run into somebody who's met God and knows about Him, can tell you about Him. Amen. That's the only two ways you're going to find out anything about God. And you want to make sure that the man that's telling you what he knows about God got the information that he has about God from the Word of God. And so when it says that by faith Abel brought this offering unto the Lord, what the Bible is saying is the motivation behind him doing that was somebody told him something, that was what they ought to do. Now, to understand that, you're going to have to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and see what happened there. You know that the serpent appeared in the garden, Satan appeared, tempted Eve, and they wound up eating of that fruit. And God drove man out of the garden. Didn't say he asked them to go on about their business, find somewhere else to live. The Bible says he drove them out of that garden. That means, my friend, they did not leave willingly. And the Bible says that after he drove them out of the garden, he placed at the east of Eden a cherubim with a flaming sword. How many of you know what a cherubim is? When you find out what it is, come tell me, because you're not going to find out what it is. If you look it up in a Bible dictionary or many other avenues of information, it's going to tell you that it's a heavenly being, some form of angel. We know what they look like, because there was cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. And Ezekiel saw some of them. But my friend, you cannot read the description of the cherubim and say, well, now I know what a cherubim is. No, I still don't know what that thing is. But I know one thing, you don't want to come in contact with one of them, amen. The Bible says that he put a cherubim there with a flaming sword. Why? To cut off the avenue to the tree of life. He said, lest man enter into the garden and eat of the tree of life, and as a result, live forever. Now, there was no problem with man eating of the tree of life when he was inside the garden before he sinned, but now it's a problem. What has happened, my friend? Now they are sinners. Now they are in a state of sin and alienation from God. A state now where God no longer controls their life, but the flesh and the devil controls their life. And God said they must not get in here and eat of that tree and live forever in the state that they're in. You see, there's a lot of people that want to live forever. They don't want to die, but they want to live the way that they're living right now. Friend, that's just not what you want to do. Now, when I was a younger man, I thought that, but I'm at the top of the chain here, amen. I'm having a good time. I hope I live a long time, didn't anticipate it, amen. But I tell you what, the older I get, I believe Brother Jamar's wife, God lets us live as long as He does, amen. We begin to realize, you know what, I don't want to live in this house forever. It used to be a pretty good house. I'm pretty proud of it, Brother Larry. But I want to tell you something. I don't want to live in this body. And that's what God said about Adam and Eve. I cannot allow them to get back. So He put at the east of Eden this cherubim and this with the flaming sword. Josephus says that He placed there an altar with it. Now, where do we first see cherubim after this? The Ark of the Covenant. What was the Ark of the Covenant? It was a holy place because that's where God was. But it was also a place of what? Sacrifice. The blood. Do you see the connection that's going on here? Amen. So, if one was going to bring an offering to God, where would they bring it? My daddy used to say, well, I could worship God out on the river fishing, and he did not like fishing. Just as much as I can at the church house. Well, I guess while he was out there, he threw his offering in the river. Now, I love my daddy. Don't get the wrong idea. Like I said, he didn't fish, but one time he got the idea he wanted to go mulletin with me. Now, back in Mississippi, we don't throw out of the boat, we wade it out. Because of the barrier islands, the water wasn't that deep. I don't know if John ever got to go with us or not, but his brother did. But anyway, we went mulleting. I'm not going to tell you what happened to him first, because it's... it involves manure, so I'm not going to mention it. So anyway, we went out there and we mulleted and everything, and we caught some mullet, and we came back, and I saw him doing this, and I said, what's the matter, Pop? He said, I had $10 in my shirt pocket here. And it's gone. I said, Pa, that's what I called it. What did you plan on buying while we were out there that you carried $10 with you? Of course, that weren't funny to him. He thought it was $10. Where would you go? If you wanted to find God today, where would you go? Most people go to church house or go to some religious institution, amen. So there is a designated place where we meet God. Here we call it Calvary Baptist Church, amen. When I want to meet with God, and I can meet with God at the house, but the Bible has commanded us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible teaches us that the church is a body. It's not only a universal body, it's a local body. And so we come to worship God where? The house of God.
Amen.
Sure, Paul, worship God on the river all that you want to, but get with the people of God like the Bible says and worship God and praise Him in the house of God. Now, if they were going to get together an offering. Now, Abel did this by faith. Where would they take that offering? It said they offered it unto God, so they had to go where God was. That's what brought me to the river. Sure, God's there, but He's not normally receiving offerings out there. Amen. You go where you know you can find God. Now, understand this. We have no record of the Garden of Eden ever disappearing or not existing until after the flood. That garden, my friend, was there up until the flood. And when Cain and Abel brought their offering, they brought it to the east of Eden, there where they were driven out of the garden, where the cherubim of God is, which represents the holiness of God, and they offered those offerings unto God, and guess who was there? The cherubim didn't accept or reject the offering. God did. So they knew where to find God. And because it says Abel offered it by faith, he knew how to approach God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by those words. Where did they find out? They only could find it out. There was no Bible. The only way they could ever found it out was from Adam and Eve, their daddy. You know, part of the glory of eternity to me is sitting down and talking to some of these people in the Bible that we read about and hearing them explain to us what things was like in their day and what they knew. There was a man who lived before the flood. His name was Shem. He was one of the sons of Noah. I know I'm getting sidetracked, but what's your hurry? I'll cut off at noon. Or when I see the smoke, either one. We got a little bit to go. He lived the other side of the flood. He knew what it was like, and he could tell people what it was like and what happened before the flood. He made it through the flood in that ark with old Noah. When Abraham was born, Shem was still alive. That's why some people believe that Melchizedek was Shem himself, you see. He could tell everybody after the flood, including Abraham, who was born of his genealogy, everything about before the flood. That was the link. That was where the knowledge and the faith would come from. When Abraham died and was buried, guess what? Shem was still alive. Could you imagine that all those years after the flood, people could sit down and with Shem and say, Shem, what were people doing before the flood? The Garden of Eden was there. The dwelling place of God was there, represented in the cherubim. How in this world did man become so wicked and so violent? Could sit down and talk to him. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Adam and Eve had to tell Cain and Abel, boys, you need to understand something. You see that beautiful garden over there? We once lived on the inside. We once had access to everything that is in there. But one day we disobeyed and did what God commanded us not to do. As a result of that, we're not what we used to be. There's a gospel song, something like that. Amen. But it's not in this direction, it's in the other direction. Amen. Therefore, for a man to approach a holy God, he must bring with him an offering. An acceptable offering. That's the motivation. That's the vehicle. That was the source and the start of Abel's faith. Now let's get to the starting fact. When did they bring the offering unto the Lord? The Bible is not real specific about it, but it says in the process of time. Well, preacher, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means that they didn't do it when they were kids and didn't understand what they were doing. Amen. It meant that they'd lived a little while and they'd come to an age of understanding of spiritual things. Amen. And they brought this offering to God. You see, that's what happens in our lives. I was born a poor man. I could go into the details about that poor boy. But it would be embarrassing. I could never talk about it when my mama was around, and that embarrasses me. People talk about white privilege. Don't get me started. Go ahead, shut us off, Facebook. I don't care. We got other directions we can go. Couldn't care less. At least I ain't said nothing about Nancy Pelosi. You know she's dead. It's just the devil's holding her up. Oh, preacher, why you say that? Did you know that Satan tried to get a hold of the body of Moses. Now, why do you think he wanted that body? What do you think he's going to do with Antichrist? You see, you got me sidetracked again. You're bad about that. I can't look at you. I have to stay with my nose. By faith, Adam told his boys, if you're going to be right with God, you're going to have to come to God to a specific place, and you're going to have to come to Him His way, or He will not accept you. Now, obviously, at that time, the population was at a minimum, but it obviously was not a tolerant society. Now, Cain thought that it was. In the process of time. You see, there was a time when I was young. We lived about maybe half a mile down the road from a little hole in this church. It was made of wood. Had big spiders in it. That's all I ever took notice of. And my grandmama would walk us down that paved road, barefooted many times, to that little church. That's all the church. I didn't know nothing about God. As I grew up and got a job, got money, and got to knowing things, I didn't care nothing about God. Didn't want God. And certainly was not looking for God. But in the process of time, God began to deal with my heart through many avenues. It's amazing. We don't have time to get sidetracked into all of that. Amen. In the process of time, thank God that God's desire is not to let a man go to hell without knowing the way to go to heaven. Now, if he chooses to go to hell, then it's no longer God's fault. In the process of time, God showed up in my life, and because of the Word, because of the testimonies of other people that knew God, my friend, I came to know God. Got a long way to go. I'm going to say a few things and I'll let you go eat something. Abel understood some things when he brought his offering to God. We'll do a little bit more with Cain's later on. Number one, Abel understood that a man needed a covering for his sin. Now, where did he learn that? Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves. But my friend, not just any covering will do. The Bible says, my friend, that God covered them with coats of skins of animals. Now, friend, you cannot cover somebody or take the skin of an animal, unless it's a sheep, without killing that animal. Amen. So he knew that any covering that he had to have for his sin would have to be that of an animal. Not only that, he understood that a covering of human manufacture is not sufficient. You see, the Bible says that Cain's the tiller of the ground. Now, I like to till the ground. Brother Jamar likes to till the ground. Brother Les likes to till the ground. We like to grow stuff. We don't like to fight weeds, but you have to. There's nothing wrong with being a tiller of the ground, but you don't bring God a turnip or a watermelon when He's told you to bring a lamb. He knew that you do not offer to God anything that you want to. I'll never forget whenever God was calling me to preach. I was under conviction. I didn't have a lot, but I began to get rid of everything one at a time. I had a boat. Boy, I love that boat. I wish I had it back. I sold the boat. I said, "Now, are you happy, God?" I mean, I'm telling you the honest truth of an ignorant young man that was saved. I got rid of everything. What was I doing? I was offering to God things of human manufacture. That's not what He wants. Finally, that little, still, small voice in my heart said to me, "Son, I didn't want all your stuff. I wanted you. If I get you, I've got all your stuff." So guess what? God lost His boat too. Human manufacture, religion, will not make you right with God. Another thing he understood. God Himself must provide the covering. Who died for your sins? Who died for my sins? Only one person. You can go today, they won't let you in. You can go today where Muhammad is buried. And by the way, a lot of people don't know this because they don't read, but where he's buried also, there's an empty grave by him. Do you know who that empty grave is for? Jesus. A Muslim will tell you they believe in Jesus. They do, but they don't believe in the Jesus that you believe in. They believe he's going to return one day. He's going to marry. He's going to have children. And he's going to die about 40 years after he returns. And he's going to be put in that grave by Muhammad. Son, I don't want no part of that religion. Why? That's a man-made religion, amen. The only religion that God accepts is the one that he produces. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
John said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. What does that word mean? Blood sacrifice for our sins. And this is what he said. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Doesn't mean the whole world's going to be saved, but it means there's enough efficacy in the blood of Jesus Christ that every man, woman, boy and girl that's ever born on this earth could be saved. Amen.
Yeah.
The only thing you bring to God is something that God's given for you. What did Abel bring? The first things of his flock. Amen. His flock. But let's go on. He also understood that this covering is only obtained through the shedding of blood. You see, this is what we notice about Abel's offering. Number one, it says it was the firstlings of his flock. What does that mean? Firstborn. First one he got. You see, we today, if we've got anything left over, we'll bring it to God. We deal in lastlings in the Baptist church, Mr. Brother Larry. If there's anything left, we'll bring something to God rather than bringing him the first. And I could get sidetracked in all that and the offerings that were given in the nation of Israel and the feast days that they observed, but I'm not going to. But he said he also brought, now listen to this word, he didn't just bring the first thing of his flock, but he brought the fat thereof. Now you can shear a sheep and get the wool, cover yourself with it, but you're not going to bring his fat unless you kill him. If you follow the pattern through the Bible, you find that the Bible tells the children of Israel not to eat any fat. I'm glad I don't like that. Not to eat any fat. Why? The fat belongs to God. Now, if you know anything about meat, you know the flavor of the meat resides where? In the fat. If there ain't no fat, there ain't no flavor. If you don't believe that, get out there and kill you a chicken been running around the yard in the woods for most of its life. Whew. Gonna be tough, ain't it? Amen? Huh? So, he understood that this covering would only be accepted for sin if blood was shed in the process of getting it. Amen. All of this, of course, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say some things. I'm going to close. We'll continue. I know it bores some of you, but I'll continue it next time that we get to speak. Abel is saying something. He's telling us how to be right with God when we leave this world. That there's only one way. We know that because the way that He came was accepted. The way that Cain came was rejected. Amen. Now, how many of you want to come Cain's way? So, I ask you this morning. Have you ever... I use the word accepted. Let's use the word received also. Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your offering for your sin. If you did, how did you know to do so? Right here. Either through this book or somebody who knew this book and they told you. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate sacrifice. Through the Old Testament, they sacrificed lambs, goats, and bulls, and all kinds of things, but none of those were sufficient to take away the sin. They were all a picture of He who would come one day, the Lamb of God, that laid down His life and was nailed to a cruel cross. And the first thing He prayed was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But in the process of time, it gets real with us. Amen?
Wow.
Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father." How? But by me. Paul said there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible says that. So I ask you, is there more than one way you can come to God? That's what the voice of Abel is saying. Brothers and sisters, there's only one way to God. And if you reject that way, if you refuse that way, then you will never be able to stand before a holy God. But thank God that blood was shed for the remission of our sins. What does that word mean, remission? It means to carry Him away.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus? Is He your great God and your Savior that we look for in this day in which we live? Can you hear the voice of Cain, of Abel today? Praise God. Well, if you can. You should be able to now. He's saying, yes, we're all going to meet God. But there's only one way that you can meet God and be accepted and be successful. And that's through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood, who gave up His life, that sinners like you and I could be saved.
Amen.
So if we could utter words in Cain's place, what would we say? We would say, you need to get right with God. You need to get right today. And there's only one way that you're going to do that. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Ricky, you come. Assembly, you come. We're going to sing a song as we dismiss now.